on a team, why is it important for everyone to do their jobs? Consider that for a moment, whether it's an athletic team or whether it's a team that you work with. Why is it important for everyone to do their individual jobs? Now, what happens if somebody doesn't? Stick around. In just a moment, we're going to be looking at passages out of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, talking about using your gifts for our master. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We pray that each and every one of you have had a Merry Christmas, and you're looking forward to starting off the new year here in just a few days. Thank you for joining us tonight. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, as you find that, a moment ago, I asked you that whether you're on a team, whether that's a work team, whether that's an athletic team, whatever it may be, yeah, I ask you that question. Why is it important for everyone to do their individual jobs? You see, when you're talking about a team, that means that there are different members that do different things, all designed for an outcome of a certain thing, whatever that may be. If it's work, it's, for instance, a football team, it's about getting the ball across the goal line. It takes the linemen to block for the backfield and the quarterbacks. It just takes everybody working together, doing something often that's different, and bringing them together in such a fashion that a desired outcome takes place. You know, maybe it's a work team. If it's a work team, it's whatever the outlook for your project may be. But each and every one of us have different parts that we play on that team. Now, I said a moment ago, what happens if somebody does not do their job? Well, something goes lacking. There is something missing along the way. I've often said this, particularly when it comes to athletics, a football team, if the backfield and the quarterbacks don't have a lineman, then there's no way that they're ever going to be able to advance the ball because there's nobody there to block for them. If you're on a team at work and somebody's specialty on that is to keep that team focused on what they're doing and they're not there, you may be doing all kinds of different things. So it's important for us to use our gifts. And the same holds true spiritually. Yeah, God has given us spiritual gifts to be able to use for Him, and He wants us to use those for His honor and for His glory. Let's look and see what the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, tells us. It says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drunken parties, and abominable idolatries. Verse 4, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're so grateful and thankful that you have blessed us with another day and given us another opportunity to gather around your word. Lord, we realize that the busyness of Christmas is kind of winding down right now, and we're heading into a new year. And Father, I just pray that you will help us to evaluate where we stand with you, particularly in regard to using our gifts and talents and abilities for you. Lord, this is that time when we begin to look over this past year. We begin to pause and look and to see. And Father, we'll see good things. We'll see bad things. We'll see things that need to be corrected. So Father, as we head into the year 2022, I pray that you will help us to do so with a new fire in our hearts for you. Draw us close to you. And Lord, help us to make 2022 be the best year ever, not only in our lives, but Father, in following you and doing your will and being obedient to what you would have for each and every one of us to do. Lord, we're grateful and we're thankful. May we truly consider ourselves blessed because you have given us yet another day to serve you. So Father, bless our time. Speak to our hearts. Use me as your messenger for this amount of time that we'll spend together, that you might truly be lifted up. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Yeah, just a moment ago, yeah, as we were pondering those particular aspects of serving on a team, you know, we look through these passages, and in our text, Peter instructs believers to live for the will of God and to use their spiritual gifts in service to one another. Now, if I were to ask you the question this evening, what are your spiritual gifts? Would you be able to answer that question? Now, sometimes it's very easy with people. You know, sometimes people would say, well, you know what? I don't have spiritual gifts like you do. I don't have the gift of being able to stand up in front of people, and I don't have the gift of being able to preach. And, you know, some people would say, well, I don't have the gift of music. I mean, I sing in the shower, but that's about as far as it goes. I don't play musical instruments. So what do I have that I can use to serve God with? Well, folks, there are many things listed throughout the Word of God that are spiritual gifts that he gives us. But now you got to understand something. A spiritual gift is given to you that you might take the opportunity to use it in service to one another for the honor and the glory of God the Father. Now, are you doing that? Now, that could be as easy as having the gift of hospitality, you know, being that person who welcomes people in, that person who is a joy to be around. There are other spiritual gifts. Obviously, they're the ones that we see out front of the preaching and teaching and music and being a missionary and sharing the gospel and those type things. But there are so many other things. You know, sometimes it's just a smile that you can give somebody that will change their life and maybe give them hope for the day. But if I ask you that question, which I'm asking you, what are your spiritual gifts? Can you answer that? Do you know what they are personally? Listen, if not, I really want to encourage you that as we begin a new year, to delve deep into the Word of God, to search your heart to see what talents and gifts and abilities that God has given you for the opportunity to be able to serve him as well as be able to serve others. Now, some of you could say, yes, I know what my gifts are. They're A, B, C, and D. Now, my question to you is, are you utilizing them to the maximum potential for the glory of God? Remember the question I asked you at the start of our Bible study tonight. I said, what happens when one person on a team is not doing their job? You know, we fall short. You know, we're not able to actually be as effective as we could be. When you look at church, you know, church is a team. We're made up of many members, as the Word of God tells us. And along the way, God has gifted us differently. Not all of us have the same gifts and talents and abilities, but he's given us different ones that we might use. But he expects us to bring them together to use them for his honor and glory, that we might be a powerhouse for our Savior. Like I said before, you don't want to hear me sing, but I'm grateful that God has brought those into our ministry at Central Baptist and into my life that can bless us through song. What a joy that is. Now, a lot of those people say, well, I can't stand up and preach. That's why you're here. A lot of people say, well, I don't really have the gift of hospitality, but so-and-so does, and they're greeters. It's all of us working and functioning together for the cause of Jesus Christ that can make all the difference for Team Jesus. So now you can kind of see where we're going with our Bible study for this evening and the passages that we're looking at. You know, and it says something about, it says something to all of us, particularly there in verse 1, that all believers are, we have to be willing to suffer for Christ when necessary. Now, a lot of people, we don't like that. When somebody says we got to suffer, we try everything that we possibly can to get out of suffering. That's just one of the things that we try to do. We're like, man, we don't want to have to suffer as much as possible. But look at what verse 1 tells us. Chapter 4 and verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 4 says this. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Now, simply stated, what that passage is telling us is that when we trust Jesus, we need to spend the rest of our lives doing the best that we can to honor him, to be obedient to him, to follow his will for our lives. We've spent enough time in the flesh. Now it's time that we walk in the Spirit and we do the things as led by the Spirit. And that's what all believers are called to do. Now, think about it for a moment. In what ways do believers suffer for Christ in this world today? Now, it depends on where you stand geographically in this world when I ask that question as to what answers may be given. There are some people who are martyred for their belief in Jesus Christ over in China and some of those places where there are communist countries. But for right here in the United States of America, we really don't have to suffer that much. The biggest part of our suffering is what we want people to like us, obviously. We want people to be friends of ours, and we don't want to offend them. And sometimes we're so busy trying to make sure we don't offend other people that we want to hide our Jesus under the bushel, as the old song used to say. We don't want people to know that. You know, sometimes we're going to suffer because of what we believe. When we take a stand as a born-again believer in an ungodly world and in an ungodly society, then there are going to be people who are going to talk badly about us behind our backs. There are going to be people who are going to say things, people who don't like us, people who don't want to be around us. And that really is what I would consider to be the major brunt of suffering that takes place for the cause of Christ in the United States today. We don't have anybody there that's ready to take our life for our belief. We have freedoms that have been purchased by the blood of those who are willing to stand for our freedoms, called our U.S. military, and we're so thankful for them. Listen, folks, may we never take for granted those particular opportunities that we are given as Americans today. Yes, there are going to be people who are not going to like us because of our belief in the Savior. The question is, are we going to be more concerned about what other people think about us, or are we more concerned about what God thinks about us as we follow Him? See, there's going to be some persecution. I ask you this question. How in your life have you been persecuted for your commitment to Jesus Christ? As you answer that question, most of you would probably say, well, maybe just a little bit. You know, there were some people who didn't invite me to things, who were excluded me from certain areas of things, or people who may not have wanted me to be around when certain things were taking places, or maybe even some friends that just completely walked away from you when they realized that you were a believer in Christ. Well, those are just, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're important things and they're things that are painful, but really, is that the type of persecution that you're seeing in places around the world? Is that the type of persecution that we read about in the Bible? Folks, I mean, God has truly, truly been good to us, and we need to live for Him, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit as we go forward. Now, think about this for a moment. What do you think Peter means by saying that whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin? Now, as you consider that question, I want you to consider it in this way. What are ways, or in what ways, does suffering in the flesh produce spiritual growth and godly character in our lives? Think about that for just a moment, because the Word tells us that that's exactly what happens. It produces spiritual growth and godly character. Now, you don't have to turn there with me, but I'm going to go over to Romans chapter 5, particularly verses 3 through 5. And Here's what we read. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. Now, we know what perseverance is. That means being able to stick with it. Now, let me give you the last part of verse 3 again. It says, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So do you see that progression? It says what happens? The tribulations, those persecutions, those tribulations produce perseverance, helping us to stick in there. And that perseverance produces character, godly character. All right? And that character produces hope. And I don't mean hope like I hope it's going to happen, but hope in knowing that Christ is going to be there, that he's going to be the comfort through the Holy Spirit that we have been given simply because we have trusted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is. Those should be words of encouragement to us, not only today, but particularly as we begin to head into a new year. You know, sometimes we sit back and we say, you know, I really didn't do that good over this past year. There's a lot of things that the Lord's put on in my heart that I really need with his help to be able to work on, to be a different person, to draw closer to him in the year 2022. You know, now's the time to do that. You know, when we look back over the past year, these are the times when we look forward to and we make those New Year's resolutions. Now, I always say this, be very careful about making the New Year's resolutions. Don't make resolutions that you cannot keep, but by the same token, strive to do the things that God has called us to do and the things that he wants us to do. May we exercise our gifts and our talents and our abilities for him, and realizing that when we have the suffering in the flesh, that suffering does produce spiritual growth. It does produce godly character in our lives. And that's what we want to see. We want to see that cultivated. The Lord says all the things that happen to us and take place are for a purpose and for a reason. And he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to do you no harm. All the things that are happening to us are part of God's plan designed to draw us closer to him. So we can take hope in that, and great knowing grace will abound as we go forward in that particular fashion. Yeah, embrace those trials and tribulations and realize that God's plan is being worked out in your life. Now, as we go on in that verse 2, you know, Peter says that we should no longer live the rest of our lives doing something. What? Look at verse 2. It says that no longer should we live the rest of his time, meaning the old man, in the flesh, for the lust of men, but for the will of God. In other words, it's not about living for our fleshly desires as we go forward in life. It's about being able to put those things aside or suppress those things. And it says what in verse 2? That we might do the will of God. What is the will of God? What is your purpose in this world that God has pointed you out and called you and gifted you to do? Are you doing it? You know, we should be living for God instead of living for the world. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, you know what? You know, I'm X number of years old enough to know better, and I don't understand or know the will of God in my life. And I've heard that from a lot of folks that are even senior adults. You know, so the question would be, how can we discover the will of God for our lives? Let me take you over to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which tell us this. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tell us this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do you get that reasonable service? Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It gives us the answer right there in verse 2. What are we supposed to do? It says we're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, the Holy Spirit within us, the Word of God, and God's leadership in our lives. Transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Where you're going to find that is you're going to find that as you follow Him. You're going to find that as you get into His Word. You're going to find that as you reach out to Him and as you're quiet in His presence and as He leads you and guides you along the way. And when He points out those things, He wants us to use them for His honor and His glory. Folks, that is why it is so important for us to discover God's will for our lives. He doesn't mean for us to just wander through life aimlessly with no purpose. And folks, tonight, if you have viewed your purpose as rising the corporate ladder or gaining more financial stability or financial income, or you are living your life for those things, those are worldly things. And what did the Word tell us? It says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What are you living your life for? What are you here for? God has given you a purpose and He wants you to exercise that. So it is extremely important that we discover God's will for our lives, that we might truly be about His plan, not only in our lives, but also for all of society. Also, to advance the team that He's got you playing on. It's like I said, I've said this many times, an easy way to look at that is to think about church. We have to have, every believer's got some sort of gift or talent or ability to be able to use for His honor and glory. So are you using it? Are you using that for Him? Okay. Now, when he gets down into verse 3, there's a list of things that Peter begins to describe as the lust of men, the things that men chase after, and the course of this world. Because he says, don't be conformed to the world. So he starts telling us what those things are. Look with me at verse 3. It says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. So he's pointed out some of those things in the past already. He's saying, here are the things that we're talking about. These are things that are conforming people to the world. So then again, it's important for believers to be able to walk away from these things. And when you do, there is something that is going to happen. Okay, when you walk away from these things, what's going to happen to those who speak evil of believers for doing this? Now, you think about it. That's one of the things that gets people so in tuned to walking in the world, because we really do care about what other people think about us, believe about us. It hurts our feelings when people don't like us. Let's just be honest. We obviously want to be accepted by people in our spheres of influence. We want to be accepted by those that we know and love and adore. Well, and then what happens is often we're not. We mentioned a moment ago about some of the persecutions that you have walked through. Maybe some people have walked away from you. Maybe they're talking about you behind your back, and you know it. It makes you mad. There's nothing you can really do about it, but yet you know they're talking about you behind your back. But the Bible tells us what's going to happen to those people who speak evil of believers for walking in the will of God. Look with me at verses 4 and 5, and it tells us. It says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. In other words, he's saying these people who don't believe like you, these people who don't think like you in a godly sense, it says you don't run with them. So what happens? It says they speak evil of you. Now here verse 5 tells us what happens to those people. Verse 5 says, they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Did you realize that the people who do those things behind your back, the people who talk about you, the people who down you for those things, they're going to answer to the Lord for what they're saying about your walking in godliness? So many times we want to get even. That's what the fleshly, worldly side of us wants to do. We're like, well, I don't care. Yeah, you really do care. And then on the other hand, we want to retaliate, as it were. And God says, no, you let me handle that. They will give an account for all the things that they've said and all the things that they have done behind your back. You know, it's kind of funny because, you know what, sometimes people talk all the time. And let me just tell you something, particularly when it comes down to the pastor. If you're talking about the pastor behind his back, he knows it. It's going to get back to him, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Those things get back. Always remember that. Those are things that take place. Well, the same thing happens with you. When people talk about you, you know, it's eventually going to get back around to you, because how did you know they were talking about you to begin with behind your back? Unless somebody told you, it's always going to get back. Listen, don't retaliate. The Lord says, leave that to me. They are going to answer for the things that they have said and the things that they have done that have put you down, that have persecuted you, that have changed people's hearts and lives about who you are as you walk with me. Okay? Now, it says when they were living, you know, think about this question for a minute when we get down to verse 6. Why was the gospel preached to those who are now dead? Look at verse 6. It says this. It says, for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now, I want to give you that particular verse 6 in a different translation to kind of help you understand it, okay? In a different translation, it says this. It says, for this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the Spirit the way God does. That makes it a little bit more easy for us to understand when we consider it in that particular translation. Okay, you know, why is it too late to preach the gospel to someone who is already dead? Now, I want you to consider that for a moment. You know, when we think about that, you know, we cannot go preach the gospel to somebody who is already dead. In this particular day and age, which is called the age of grace, when somebody has breathed their last breath, when that last heartbeat has taken place, then what happens and what takes place is simply the fact that they have sealed their eternal fate. No matter what it is, you know, they're not going to have a chance like some would, you know, during the rapture. We'll talk about that later when we get into Revelation. But they have sealed their fate. If they draw that last breath without Jesus, they are doomed to spend all of eternity into hell. Okay, so, you know, when you think about it, the preaching needs to be heard now. The decisions need to be made now. Why a person is still alive and well and understands and can make that particular decision. Because once you take your last breath, your fate is sealed throughout all of eternity. Okay, so that is something that should lead us as believers to be even more busy about the kingdom and the kingdom's purposes in reaching people with the gospel of Christ. Because, folks, I believe with all my heart, time is short. I believe the rapture is at hand. I believe that with all of my heart. Look around you. Look at the signs of the times. Look at the world. It could be any moment right now. The question is, are we ready? Are the people we know and love and care for, are they ready? All right. What are we doing to ensure that we know that they're going to spend all of eternity in heaven with our Savior and with us? Okay. So in light of the end times, Peter says that believers should live in a certain way. What is that way? Look at verses 7-9. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Now, when we look at that, think about that, and particularly that verse 8 that says, above all things, have a fervent love for one another, for love will conquer a multitude of sins, or it covers a multitude of sins. Folks, we've got to love each other. Man, we're living in a world right now that seems more hateful than I have ever seen in my life. People are just bitter towards one another. They're snapping at each other. And even people who shouldn't be doing that, even God's people in God's house are snapping at each other. And they're saying things that are meant to be hurtful and cutting to someone else. Folks, that's not a sign of a believer. What do those verses say? It says that we're to love one another, particularly verse 8 that says, and above all things, have fervent love. Not just love, fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Not that it's just going to be, you know, swept aside or what have you, but man, listen, when you really love someone, you're ready to forgive them. Yeah, the word also tells us they, meaning the world, will know we are Christians by our love. Well, if the world is going to know we're Christians by our love, what sort of message are we sending by the way that we are loving those that are in our presence? Do they look at us and say, that's exactly what I want? That's the Jesus that is being reflected in that person's life, and I want to run to him. Or are they looking at us and saying, well, I'll tell you one thing, you know, I know Christians aren't supposed to live that way. You know, I don't want to have any part of that if that's the way that it's supposed to be. Nope. Folks, we're living in those end times, and Peter says that above all things, that we're supposed to love one another. Now, in verse 10, he starts to get over into the aspects of the spiritual gifts, and he says, you know, and in verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, what are your spiritual gifts? What are things that God has given you an ability to do that you love and that you want to do? Things that you're going to do no matter what because you enjoy them. Yeah, how are you using them in the lives of your church, in the lives of the people that are around you? You know, think about some of the different kinds of spiritual gifts that God gives to his people. Now, I want to carry you over to Romans chapter 12 once again for just a minute. But Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, give us a list. So Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8 says this. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Remember, we were talking about a team earlier. There are many players, many different positions. They're all members, but they don't perform the same function. Verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. Yeah, in proportion to our faith, okay? Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, verse 7. Let us use it in our ministering. Yeah, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, you know, with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. He just gave us a whole list of some of the spiritual gifts. Did you see any of those in those particular passages that God has gifted you with? You know, think about that for just a moment. You know, what does it say? You know, using these things for ministry, do you teach? Has he given you the gift of teaching? Well, if he has, are you teaching for his honor, for his glory? Has he given you the gift of exhortation or encouragement? Okay? If he has, are you encouraging those that are in your life? Are you encouraging those within in your church? Yeah, it says he who gives, give liberally. Has God gifted you in a way that he has provided you with resources, whether they're financial or other resources? Has he given you that gift where you love to be a giver? Well, are you giving? And it says this, it says give liberally. Are you doing that? Yeah, it says he who leads with diligence. Has God called you to be a leader? Well, are you leading? Yeah, he who shows mercy. Are you showing mercy with cheerfulness? This is just a few of those things. And he says, I want you to apply those. Remember the question we started off with at the beginning of our Bible study? What happens if somebody on the team isn't doing their job? You know, then the team suffers because they're not. Folks, you know what? We need what you have. We need your spiritual gift. Although you sit back and say, well, I'm just one of many, your gift is vitally important to the ministry of your local church. It is vital to your ministry in person, whatever it is that God has called you to do. Okay? Now, as we've gone through our Bible studies, I've told you to look for commands to obey. Okay? So what command or what does Peter command us to do with our spiritual gifts in verses 10 and 11? He says, as one has received a gift, minister it to one another as a good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He said, God has given you a gift. Now, I like how it says, and, you know, he's putting that in a speaker's terms. He says, as each one of you has received a gift. He didn't say if you have received a gift. He said as you have received a gift. So we all have at least one. Okay? So what is your gift? And he says the command to obey is this. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Are you doing that? Are you utilizing that gift to those that are around you in your sphere of influence, in your church, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, within your community? Are you exercising that? Are you obeying this scriptural command? Okay? All right? So, yeah, Peter commands us that we're to do this with our spiritual gifts. Verse 11, he says this. He says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God, meaning you are representing God when you speak. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's saying, look, if you got it, use it. And he's saying, look, I've given you something. Do you know what it is? Do you know what the gift is? Do you know what the will of God is in regard to your gifts in his life? Well, Peter says, I'm gonna make it real here, clear here for you, okay? What you're supposed to do with that gift is use it. Don't put it up on a shelf. Don't hide it. If God's given that to you, then you need to use it for his honor and for his glory. And it is a command. It's not a suggestion. Okay? What spiritual gifts do you think that God has given you personally? Yeah, that's a question that only you can answer as led by God himself. Okay? In what ways are you currently, if you know what it is, in what ways are you currently using your spiritual gifts for the glory of God? Now, some of you that are watching this evening can sit back and say, oh, well, you know, God's given me the gift of teaching, and I teach Sunday school, or God has given me, you know, the opportunity of hospitality, and I serve with the fellowship committee or all these other different kind of things. But whatever it is, listen, if you can't answer that question, I want to challenge you that as we head into the new year, find the answers to those questions. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open unto you. The Lord will show you. And I can make you a promise. He has given you some sort of gift for him because he says it in his word. And his word is true, it is right, and it is everlasting. What is your gift? Number one. And number two, are you using it for his honor and glory? Are you playing on the team and using your gifts to move the team forward? Okay? Now, as you think about that as we go forward, what new things, if you know what that is, what new things do you feel that God might be leading you to do with your spiritual gifts? You know, sometimes we sit back and we keep thinking about the same old thing. Maybe there's something new that God is leading you to do in light of your gifts, in light of your talents, in light of your abilities. Seek him. See what it is that he's going to say to you and how he wants you to use those for his honor and for his glory. Okay? In just a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer, but what we need to continue to do is to pray for one another, that we will discover God's will for our lives and that we will use our spiritual gifts for his glory and for his honor, not for our selfish purposes, not for our selfish sakes, but for his. Okay? Now, before I have that word of prayer with you, I'm going to go ahead and give your Bible readings for next week, or actually this week. So Bible readings for this week are going to be 1 John chapter 1 through 1 John chapter 5. Once again, that is 1 John chapter 1 through 1 John chapter 5. Next week, our Bible study is going to be Do Not Love the World, and it's going to come out of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 25. Okay, pay a little extra attention when you get to that particular point. Now, folks, as we're heading into the new year in just like 2 days, we're going to be ringing in a new year. And I know many of you are sitting back saying, Lord, I hope it's a whole lot better than 2021 was. Okay, I'm asking you to seek him. Get yourself ready to enter that new year and make 2022, the year that you draw close to God through prayer, through Bible reading, and through every means that He gives you that opportunity. Make 2022 the year that you truly exercise your talents and abilities for His honor and for His glory to reach people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ until you just use that gift up, which won't be till you see Him. Okay? Won't you join us on this exciting journey as we continue to step through God's Word? If you haven't been a part of that, it's a great time in the new year to start that. Join us. All we ask you to do is read one chapter a day. And there's, even though there's 7 days in a week, I only give you 5 passages. So use even 2 days, we let you be lazy. One chapter a day. This is not rocket science, y'all. You can do this, okay? Join us. By the way, once you go through a year, you will have been, actually, it was 1 year, we will have been through the whole New Testament as we wind things down here in just a couple more weeks or maybe in the next month. We will have been through the whole New Testament 2 times. So join us. Just one chapter a day. I'll give them to you for this week. 1 John chapter 1 through 1 John chapter 5. And then we'll next week we'll come around the book of 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 through 25 and discover what it means when it says do not love the world. That's what we want to do. Okay. All right. Let me have a word of prayer with you. We'll pray for one another. I trust and pray that the new year is going to bring much blessing to each and every one of us. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that you have given us some special gifts and talents and abilities to be able to use for you. Lord, I pray that as the Holy Spirit has convicted our heart during this particular message, Lord, that we are doing our part to be able to move the team forward. Lord, we want to see Team Jesus cross the goal line. I pray that we will work for, Lord, we know that the night is coming when no man will have the opportunity to work. May we use those talents and abilities for you. Lord, may it not be that we're wrapped up within our own selfish selves and that we're living within the world in such a fashion that the world can't tell us apart from your children. But God, may we truly take the stand, knowing that there'll be some persecution, knowing there'll be some things that will be said. But Lord, help us to play our position on the team very, very well. And Lord, if we have failed, may we repent as we come to the end of this year. And Lord, may we truly, as we go forward, do so with a repentant heart, with a desire to be on fire, to serve you and to serve you better in this upcoming year than we did in this past year. Lord, bless each and every family. Just do something special in their lives that they will truly know that your hand is upon them. For Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, God bless you. I pray that you will have a happy new year. We'll see you next year.